Joy.
Yes.
This is the best thing.
Well, that's what I use.
Yeah, and it's taken.
But I messed up a place over there.
That's all right.
You know, watch it out. It doesn't make a bit of difference. It can't be too bad. Make any difference over here. That's what this place is for. Buxton, now here's the thing that gets me. You are a country mechanic.
Yeah.
Well, you see, you out here. Now, them fellas, I see them up there. I go up there sometimes, and they do something to me. And all they do is get the on the telephone, and in five...
They stay on that telephone.
5, 10, 15 minutes, the parts man is there. They don't have to go anywhere and get the parts. So you see, that problem they don't have.
Well, now, you think yesterday I made 4 trips to Gainesville. And it was their fault. You know it?
Yeah.
That's just expense. As far as I'm concerned. You know what I mean?
Don't bother about thinking. Well, now, you can pass on a little of that to the customer.
Done give him a price. When you done give a man a price, you can't go jacking it up. You tell him you're going to sell him a carburetor for $20, and I'll put it on for $4 or $5. Then he comes back and you say it's $35, he's going to say, well, wait a minute, him. So I had him do you having to go to the game 2 or 3 times, but I didn't give you the right part, wrong part, and all that stuff. See what I mean?
Well, you give people prices.
Sometimes I do. Sometimes they'll ask you, you know.
Well, you never, I never get one from you.
No. Well, a lot of times, now you take on that carburetor, I told him that carburetor would run him $15. But when I got the bill back yesterday, that thing was $16.95, wasn't it? I believe it's what it was.
You mean just for the carburetor?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I don't know how you make that up.
Well, I said, I'm not telling you, the thing cost more than I thought it did. And most of them understand, they don't think they did.
They don't?
Yeah. But you can't go tell them you're going to charge them twice putting that thing on there, or 2 trips a game. Well, you can't do that.
Well, I don't see how you can come out if you don't.
You got to do it.
Well?
Well, yeah, in most cases, I just tell them, I say, well, I couldn't help it. But you can't.
Yeah. Well, but that keeps you on the fence all the time.
It does.
You always fight the battle of just your own expense.
I know. In other words, I'm backing myself in the corner.
Yeah.
That's all I'm doing sometimes.
Yeah.
Man, it's hard for a mechanic to make a living.
Why not? You take this.
On such as that. Yeah, you take that old Chevrolet I'm working on the past. I was telling you about you bought that carburetor for? I started on that thing, when was it? I believe it was Saturday morning. That boy went to Daytona Beach.
Oh.
And he said, go ahead and work on it. I worked on that thing on Saturday afternoon, took that starter off of there, and put it back on. Wait a minute, you know I told you I got the wrong starter? I didn't.
Yes, you did.
I got a starter that the armature was bad in it.
Oh.
It had 2 bad places on it, and if it ever hit in that one particular place, it wouldn't work.
Yeah.
See? And I had to go back and get another.
That is your responsibility.
And that's no problem of mine. What I mean, it's no fault of mine. I couldn't help it.
But that's your responsibility. The way it works out, it's not theirs.
I know it. The man that owns the car had nothing to do with that at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He just gonna pay for one installation. Mm-hmm. You gonna pay for 2. Mm-hmm. But White Electric was the one that made the mistake, because the people that rebuilt that starter for them didn't check that thing out good. In other words, that armature had a bad bar in it. 2 of them. One on each side. Just opposite from each other. And if they'd have run a check on that thing, they'd have found it. There's a way of finding that thing.
Yeah.
You can take lay it in a armature tester and turn it around and take a hacksaw blade and go around it. If that fire starts jumping out of there, you short it out, see?
Oh.
And see, these things we I mean, this person doesn't know.
And they just didn't do that, so.
Well, now, you take on that starter. You make, I brought one out for you. You had to take that back, and then you had to make another trip.
I made $4. I think that thing cost me $12 or something.
Yeah.
It sells for $16. I make $4.
Yeah.
You can't hardly drive the game back for $4. Can you?
Well.
Counting your gas and your tires, and after a while you don't watch automobile. Then when you make two trips, you ain't done nothing, sure enough.
Well, that's right.
See?
You couldn't even go.
Some parts you don't make. Why you don't make 15, 20 cents on some parts? See what I mean? Now on that car radio, you're supposed to make $4. And any time you do something like that, and they always give you the wrong part. That old handle boy told me yesterday, and he said, well, he said, I know you got him white electric. I said, yep. He said, oh, well, you can always pick on them and give you the wrong stuff.
Oh, really?
Oh.
But then a lot of places do the same thing.
Well, now look, Buster, what happened to me on this part, what caused us the trouble this morning is, of course, what caused me the trouble, I just upside down myself.
You
but after, after you got out of here, what caused the trouble was, he didn't make it up the way it was. He made it too long.
Made it too short, didn't he?
Huh?
He made it too short, didn't he? This last time. That hose is shorter. The one you got now is shorter than the one you took off there to start with. And when it's short, it comes on the outside of that rod, and then I had to put it on the inside because it was shorter. See? And bend it a little bit too. On the back end of it.
Well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll just go by up there and see if that thing's still laying there. And just see what he done to it. I guess he threw it away, but I hadn't.
Yeah. Throw the trash out there. Ain't no use. That's water over the dam now. Now we'll forget about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that night is going to work all right. But I believe that oven was a little bit longer.
Well, Buster, how can you protect yourself on that? A person would have done the same thing to you unless you stood there?
Yeah. Do it while you're standing there or not. Well, they got a limited amount of stuff to work with. They have to do the best they can. You know what I mean? It's possible they just didn't have nothing like you had, you know. Sometimes you're lucky.
Buster, I'll tell you what. I wouldn't mind being a mechanic. But I don't want to work there where I can't get a hold of anything.
Man, that thing ain't nothing. That ain't nothing.
You mean you get
them
worse?
Man, what you talking about? 10 times that worse. Man, sometimes I threaten just quit and just walk off. And do sometimes. I took a starter off a Chevrolet not very long ago. It was a 394. One of them big ones.
Yeah.
Why, that starter, you have to even pull the pan off under that sub pan, back of the oil pan.
Yeah.
To get it off. And you can't take that thing down and take the wires off. You got to go way up in a hole and take them wires off while it's up in there. And you can't hardly even see it. Some of them you can't see. I put one on yesterday. You couldn't even see it. You just got the feel up there. You know about where it is, see? And I got a little ratchet wrench about that long. Real small.
Yeah.
With a little universal on it. And you can feel up there. Well, I put a set of plugs in the car Saturday. Had that old smog control on it. Why, it's worth $4 to put them plugs in that thing. I never seen such a mess in my life. And
well,
it's easy to break one of them.
Well, now, you told me, you see, I need an inch, an inch. Well, that's what it was. All right, sir. I got one. And you know that wouldn't do it?
Mm-mm.
I couldn't pull it up far enough to get a hold again.
No.
Even though I turned it over. So, I opened up the crescent wrench to where it would jog it up a little bit, then I put the end wrench on again. Now that's some arrangement, ain't it?
Yeah. Man, you gotta do all kinds of things now.
Yeah.
On these old cars, but they just getting too complicated. And I tell you something else. A lot of these car things now, you can't repair them.
Oh.
You just got to replace them. Yeah. Yeah, you take an old fuel pump on some of these cars, you can't put parts in it like you used to. You used to put diaphragms in them, you know. And now they, when they get through those things, they make them out of a thin, a thick tin, real extra thick tin, you know. Or I'd say a thin gauge of steel. And then when they get through, they got a machine that crimps them things over to where you don't get inside of them. See? It crimps it. And if you tear it up, it falls all to pieces.
Yeah.
In other words, whenever you get through it, you just throw it away and go buy another.
Yeah.
And carburetors is getting so complicated you can't fix them.
Well, now, what were you telling me about the carburetor the other day? You don't want to start working on
them. No. Well, just like I tell you about that, either one of those cars you got out there, you can't go into them carburetors and fix them.
Oh.
Ordinary mechanic, you got to send it back to the factory. You just go to game room, buy a rebuilt one, put it on there. Well, I had no boy in time going to help me, you know. My boy used to work up there at College Strasses. He come down there, oh man, I'm a carburetor man. I said, good. We had no Lincoln, he tore that thing down. He had more stuff and he got through with it and didn't start it. And I had to carry that thing to Gamble and trade in on a one after all. And I asked that man Gamble, an old boy to stand at the counter, how much he charged to overhaul one. He said $10. I said, well, you can't overhaul one for $10.
Yeah.
I said, the kit in that thing cost you $6.
Yeah.
And he'd be like old Henry. I said, you take the thing down and you can't put it back together. Man, I think he had a little working parts on a Swiss watch.
Yeah. You know, Smitty said to me, I told you that. Smitty said to me one time down there, I said, it must be some satisfaction to know that you can work on a car and at least tune it or put in a spark plug. And he said he regretted the day he ever put his head under an automobile
hood. I have too. And if I listened to my mother and daddy, I never would be a mechanic right now.
What'd they say?
Well, they wanted me to go to school to be a lawyer. When I was little, you know?
Yeah.
That's what I should have done. Or an automobile salesman, anything except a darn mechanic. That's the sorriest thing I know of, being a mechanic.
Oh, but I don't know. What
yes,
would
it
do?
Is.
What, how you feel that?
Well, so aggravating. I said, I can't go to church on Sunday. Custom old cars. 6 days a week and stay home all day Sunday repenting, see?
Yeah.
Scared to go to church, I might start cussing the preacher.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you, it's aggravating.
This is what people don't realize, you know. I think they just drive a car up and fix it, and that's it. You see, if we realize just how much, I mean, some of the things that a mechanic has to put up with.
Now, what is that, Buster? What was that, what were we saying a while ago about the ego's gone and the other things? The moss the dying. Yes.
Yeah. Well, pollution's killing it. Pollution's killing the moss.
Oh.
You take that old mill over here at Palatka.
Yeah.
And you know you can smell that thing over here sometimes. You ever smell it?
Oh, when the wind's in the east, that's
when
all
the,
you
when
can
the wind's
smell.
In the east. Well, that stuff, it's poison. And that stuff just goes through the air and hits that moss, and that's nothing but an air plant, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
And moss is not, it's a frail sort of a plant, you know. And you killed it. You smothered it to death, you know. Air plants got to breathe, you know. And that stuff gets up there and smothers it to death. Of course, that's my theory, I don't know.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
But I believe it does. And I was telling Guy a while ago about them old blackbirds.
Oh, yeah.
They're getting
yes.
extinct, you know. You don't see them like. Whenever I was a kid, I'd take an old slingshot and go around that little pond we got down there. And those butcher birds,
yeah,
jaybirds, and blackbirds, man, they're prolific down there. Now, they're getting extinct. You don't hardly ever see any. Because, like down here at Orange Lake, those hyacinths, you know, it's got little bugs in them.
Oh, yeah.
And every one of them things got worms in them. And then blackbirds go out there and peck them worms out. See?
Yeah. Never thought of that.
In a day or two, they'll come by and they'll spray all those things with DDT, you know, to kill the hyacinths so they'll sink, you know. But next day, them birds go back out there and jump on them hyacinths again and eat them worms, and first thing they know, they're dead.
Yeah.
And the eagles, them fish hawks, you'll never see no fish hawks anymore.
No.
Used to, you see a lot of fish hawks?
Plentiful.
It's plentiful. And now you don't never see one because they also, them eat that stuff, you know.
Hmm.
And fish hawks go out there and get it and kill them, too.
Yeah, they eat the birds, that eat the worms,
no,
that
no,
eat the...
No, no, they go out there and eat them bugs, too, you know, them worms, yeah. Them fish hawk does, you know.
Well, I'm trying to get that too. Scale of nature, where it comes up from the insects to the...
Well, now they said something like, what is a rodent? You know what a rodent is?
Rodent?
Yeah.
Rat.
Well, they was telling not very long ago on the radio about
that.
Oh,
they're field mice.
Yeah. Said that the field mice would get a hold of poison. And then the old buzzard comes down and eats him.
Yeah.
And then it kills him.
Okay. And something eats the buzzard if possible.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, there's certain things that would eat it, eat a buzzard.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what, maybe a possum or a coon or something. But they don't seem to be affecting the coons, because they're plentiful. There's plenty of them.
I saw a coon's track down there, his biggest dog track the other day, Buster. I just wondered where in the world he comes from.
Well, people don't kill coons like they used to.
Yeah.
Now, Mac Weaver used to kill them.
Yeah.
And hunt them, you know, and buy furs. Coon, I've seen him out there with a hunter to do it, when he'd run that shop. But you don't ever see people using them furs anymore. They don't use coon hides like they used to.
Good old, now he don't do that anymore, but I just thinking about him over there. Thought I could go by over there and get Mac to cut his hair, couldn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, he'd cut your hair.
Just as a neighborly thing. You don't have to.
Yeah, you cut it.
Have it transit.
Cut mine plenty of times.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's when he had his shop.
No, even when he's home.
Yeah.
Down there now. A lot of times you go down and he's not there, you know, and it's just easy for me to get mine cut at home because my wife cuts it good, you know. And I ain't got to go nowhere.
Well, what do you use? What does she have? The electric shears?
Regular electric. Clippers, like a barber uses. I bought them from a barber.
I wish she'd teach me.
Well, Faith, you go by there and see what she's got.
Maybe she'd show me what she had, not to get, because he has the most trouble.
Oh, it's awful.
It is. Mac, like I said, though, Mac gives you a good haircut. He ain't got to give you whatever you want to. 50 cents, 75 cents, $1, whatever you want to give him.
You know,
and you ain't got to wait either.
I like to hear Mac talk. You see, I haven't heard him talk about you yet.
No.
But he talks about them old dogs, and he talks about, you know, growing up there in Alabama. And all. What does he talk to you about?
Same thing.
And carpentry?
Yeah, about contracting jobs around town.
Well, has he carpentered right for you?
Yeah.
Now, you didn't tell any of your...
Mm-hmm. Sound all right. Sounds good. It's clear, isn't it?
Yeah.
Clear as a crystal.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
What was old Henry Brown? Was he nervous?
Nervous.
Yeah, when you're banging on your car.
Well, yeah. He's nervous. He's always been nervous all his life. He's more nervous now than he used to be since he got his new wife.
Oh, you got a new wife?
Yeah.
He high strung?
Yeah. You know, Henry's had a little trouble, you know, with his health, you know. He's got that emphysema.
Oh, I see.
And I think he kind of has a bearing.
But in the old days, he wasn't nervous.
No, he was very calm. Way back, you know.
And he could do everything.
He could. Henry's not as young as he used to be. I imagine what Henry's about.
He's
68 years old.
He farmed and been in the logging business.
Yeah. Joe Henry had a little money at one time.
Oh, did he?
He doesn't have any now, but at one time he has had money. Yeah. Whenever he was logging, you know.
Yeah.
And he, long about the time he reached his peak, you know.
Yeah.
He was kind of, he made pretty good. I've seen the time he had a pretty good payroll. He had two or three men working for him at one time.
Oh,
two,
he had payroll?
Yeah, he had, let's see. He had two trucks and he had a little skidder. He called a boogeyman or a frog. They got all kind of names. He called them old things he pulled logs with. He used to call it a hoodler, too. So you can call it a hoodler. Probably just names he made up. And,
I have never, I don't know any of that equipment. And I've heard people talk about a skidder, and I don't have the faintest idea what a skidder is. What does it do?
Well, the same thing as like a wrecker. It's just got a boom up there, you know, a winch.
Oh.
And you pull that winch, you know, and it pulls them logs up to the truck, and then you take the truck and go to the loading truck, you know, to the edge of the woods with it. It's something to skid the logs through the woods in thick places where you can't get in there with a truck, you know, is what that's for.
Well, how you get in there with a skidder? It looks like it'd be harder to get in there than it would than a truck.
Well, what I had reference to said a truck, I'm talking about a long truck. I'm talking about one that's got a trailer on the back of it for hauling logs. You can't get that thing in and out of the woods.
You got to keep that on the concrete.
Got to keep it on the edge of the woods there. Can't weave it in and out around trees with it.
Well, was the skidder mounted? It had to be mounted.
Yeah.
I mean, on wheels.
Yeah.
Like a truck.
Yeah, it's shorter, though. See, it's short coupled. A skidder is. It's short coupled.
Well, how do you hold it down to keep it from walking off?
From laying up?
Uh-huh.
You mean when you get a log on it?
Yeah.
Well, they usually got them weighted down in the front. But if you know how to put that old winch on there in the right place, it's not going to wrap up anyway. You can't put that winch on the very back end of that truck. You've got to put it in the middle, see, right close to the back seat.
Mm-hmm.
Then you'll have an even balance of pulling power. In other words, whenever you pull, it'll have a tendency to want to pull straight down instead of pulling the front end of your truck up, see. You got to get your wheels back, get your winch mounted right in the very middle. And then also get your boom as close, the foot of your boom, up just as far back of your back seat as you can. Like I say, then it'll pull down and not pull the front of your truck up. They've got ways of doing that.
Well, now these telephone light people, they've got feet on their trucks.
That you can, yeah.
But you never had that. These skidders never had that.
Well, I've got one on the back of that old big tractor I got. Right on the very back end of it. Did I let down?
Yeah.
If I'm picking up something extra heavy, like if I'm trying to pull a tree out of the ground or something,
yeah.
I have to let that thing down. If you don't, it'll pick up that front end of that truck. And sometimes if I'm pulling an old semi out of the ditch or something like that, I have to let that thing down.
But you're right.
But I don't have any on the side. It's just on the back end of it. See?
But Henry never had that on his skidder.
No, well, you don't need them because you're subject to start moving on off after you pick up a log of those things. And you're not picking up at one end of it anyway. You're not picking up the whole log whenever you're dragging it through the woods, you know?
Well, now you don't just get a hold of it and drive on out with it.
Yeah, you do, too.
Yeah.
Just hook onto the end of it.
Well, actually, that's just a wrecker, then.
Yeah, it's just kind of a wrecker. Of course, they don't use no fenders on them, you know, out there, because naturally they get knocked off. A light, see, they don't have no lights or fenders or nothing, just a frame.
Oh.
You know.
Well, is the boom bigger than a wrecker?
Yeah, that same thing.
They
just got one boom on it, that's all you need.
And they talk about a skidder.
That's what that is.
And they call it all sorts of things.
He did.
Yeah.
He had a little small skidder. Most people would call it a skidder. He called it a frog because it was so short coupled, you know.
Yeah.
And it had them old wide wheels on it. It kind of resembled a frog to a certain extent, you know. And then he had a new wrecker looking thing like I got. And he called that a hoodler. Anybody else would have called a skitter, but he called a hoodler. Of course, that could have been a name he has made up. Some people do that, you know.
Does Henry talk well as he used to?
Yeah.
He still talks well?
Yeah.
I mean, his infirmities
haven't changed any.
Changed his talking.
Oh, no.
Well, would he talk about some of that logging?
Yeah. Heck yeah.
Nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would.
And he'd have all those experiences and things. All sorts of things happened to him when he was doing it.
Oh, Henry's got good conversation as far as that goes.
Has he?
Heck yeah.
Well, you see, I never heard him talk, Buster. Mm-hmm. I've seen him over at your place. I used to. Don't you remember I went out there one time and looked at that old skitter record to see if I could use it on salad,
don't you? Mm-hmm.
But he never talked much. And over there at your place, I never heard him talk much.
No? Well, you got to get to know him.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So, Buster, these are things that are interesting and that we don't know and we ought to know, and the children coming along later ought to know, you know. These are things that are really interesting.
Does he talk as well as Tuck?
Tuck Mac? Yeah.
Does he?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, Tuck's on the final.
Yeah, I know it.
What does Tuck talk about when you hear him? Does he just light in and talk?
Well, he's got good conversation is what I mean. He talks about most anything.
Yeah.
Anything that you want to talk about.
Anything that comes up.
Yeah.
You don't have to talk about what he's interested in.
He's kind of like Jim Means. He just talks about anything or everything.
Anything that comes up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now that's what I call a good talker, you know.
Yeah.
He don't go around with just, like I do. See, I go around cussing at the tongue, something on my mind all the time. And I can talk about that. But now,
I don't know if it hurts anything. You mean to cuss a little bit?
Yeah.
Well, that's the best thing I know of. That's one thing my daddy never did do. He didn't curse. I've seen him in that garage there, hit his finger, and he'd say, "Well, that rotten thing."
Oh, really?
And, of course, I got a different name for it whenever I called it something. I don't call it rotten. That'd be the last thing I'd use. That's a little bit, putting it a little too mild.
Well, how do you get to be like that, Buster?
Me? Or him?
Oh, him.
I don't know. I've seen him take a hammer and be hitting on a little chisel and hit his hand, knock skin off. Man, I'd call that thing everything in the book. Sometimes I'd stop a tourist coming by and ask him if he knew any new words I could use on them things.
Well, I guess the question is, how'd a man like that have a boy like you?
I can't understand it myself. But that's the way it happens.
Well, now
you know, from sometimes from the worst comes the best, and sometimes from the best comes the worst.
Jay, I don't cuss.
The heck he don't. Huh. Yes, he does, too. I don't cuss all the time. But if I get around an old automobile, though, you're bound to. If a preacher's son started working automobiles, he'd be cussing, you know that?
Sister's peppery.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, she'd pick it up right away, wouldn't she?
Yeah. She tries to cuss a little bit, you know. She thinks it's cute. You know that? Don't she?
I don't know that well. The way it seems to me is she's just peppery and don't mind going ahead and saying it.
Well, she's outspoken, you know.
Yeah.
Like myself, I'm that way to a certain extent myself. I don't mind saying what I think.
Oh, I never heard you say anything like that.
What?
What do you think?
Well, you must not have been listening out there and I worked on that tractor this morning.
Are you just cussing?
I was cussing and thinking too. About that hose it was putting on there.
Yeah.
I could think of a lot of better things we could be doing at that time, couldn't you?
Yeah, but what's your sister's name?
Dodie.
Huh?
Dodie,
yeah. She'll pick up stuff like Lovett, you know. They'll start cussing the county for taxing them.
Yeah.
Things like that.
Yeah.
And they just, and then something about the cattle or something like that. See, you never do that.
No. Well, there's no use. But I mean, you ain't going to gain nothing by doing that too much.
I guess both of them got up.
That little boy of mine, my wife, was going to Gainesville. And she was out there. She had a recorder. tape machine out there, you know, recorder. And she was letting people talk in it, you know, and all them kids, you know. And I was out there, you know, and the old dog started barking. I was barking like the old dog. I thought I was going to imitate that old dog, you know. She had the old dog barking. I was barking in the old mic, you know. Then I said, you ought to hear a cat. And I was doing all kind of imitations, you know, different animals, you know. And man, she was getting a kick out of that thing.
Is that right? And she got on tape.
Yeah.
Well,
and she played it back, you know.
You've had right smart experience with animals.
Yeah. Now I still know how the old hoot owl goes and how the old cat goes. I can imitate any of those things, you know. Mm-hmm. Some of the days I'll do that on there for you.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay.
And I'll give you the tape.
And I can imitate an old banjo.
And then you can
tell the tape.
I can imitate most anything. And then that old boy of mine had that old motorcycle of his out there, and I was imitating that old motorcycle. She said the imitation sounds better than the real thing.
Well, that'll be fun. And you've bringing her along with you, too.
I'll do that one night. Bring her out, and we'll. I wanted to hear this tape that you played today.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll just ride up there.
All right. Well, I guess I better run. Because I got them old cars I forgot to get out.
I got two. Oh, boy, I've been waiting on that thing now. I think I'm going home by now. And, but like I say, one night I'll run over here and we'll play it.
Let's see. This is Thursday, the 16th of April, 1970. Down one right, one, two. Okay, we call it 3/4 now.
Hmm.
375. See, I'll put all that down on the tape.